Marvel fans, and welcome to What's New in Marvel Unlimited, where we take a look at the comics new to the Marvel Unlimited app. As always, there's a great selection of interesting stuff to take a look at. We've done our reading, and now we're here to help you navigate the vast chronicles of comics within the Marvel Unlimited app.
Welcome back to What's New in Marvel Unlimited. This is Dan. Each week, my daughter Sienna and I are looking at what Marvel comics are releasing digitally through the Marvel Unlimited app. For this week, we're focusing on comics that came out between the days of March 3rd and 9th, 2024. So, Sienna, how you doing this week?
I'm doing pretty good. Got spring break. 2 days! Yippee! I love my school system!
Got a couple days off, and you've spent them reading comic books, which is awesome. So, we've got, some good stuff. Really kind of a slow week this week, though, for Marvel
and
Linden.
There's, like, nothing in here.
Yeah, so how many total books did we have, and what are kind of our breakdown?
So the total number of books we had was 16, which is tiny, and 6 of them were Infinity Comics, and then there were 9 regular ones and 1 facsimile one. It was an X-Men.
Yeah, that one's actually Uncanny X-Men, number 142, second half of the famous Days of Future Past storyline. So if you haven't read that, you certainly should. It's kind of weird in Marvel Unlimited, though, because you can just go and read X-Men 142. You don't need to read the facsimile edition. Guess it's got a couple of little things in it, but we're not going to worry too much about that one. So.
And then the Infinity Comics, we had 6 of them. And they were, it's Jeff, the little shark guy, Avengers in United Infinity Comic, and then there was Marvel's Voices, Spider-Man Unlimited, and there was an X-Men Unlimited, and then the final one was Miss Marvel, the New Mutant, which is, like, there's 2 of them, one of them is a regular comic and one's a Infinity
so you can
comic.
Read it in either format, whichever one you'd prefer. There you go. So which format did you read it in?
I read it in the Infinity because it was just the next one that I read the whole series today. So I was like, so it was the next one that came up. And so I was like, oh, it's a, cause like all of them have a regular and an Infinity.
Yep.
So it was the next one that came up. So I was like, I guess I'm going to read it like this.
There you go.
So, but it was actually really nice to read it like that. Cause I haven't really read many of them.
Like
in
the real
Infinity
comics,
it's like
Infinity format.
It's actually really nice to read them like that,
cool.
And I liked them.
All right, I read that one in the regular format, and that certainly read perfectly well too. So pretty decent little series. So we had 6 of those. As far as standard comics, what did we see this week? Anything that interested you?
There were out of the 9 regular comics, I read like 5.
Okay.
Yeah, but we had Star Wars, Obi-Wan Kenobi, we had X-Men Blue Origins, which is like the Nightcrawler Mystique whole thing that was going on, and then another Marvel Zombies, Captain America, Howard the Duck, Realm of X, Predator versus Wolverine, Moon Knight, and then the other Miss Marvel one.
All right. So you said there's 5 of them that you read, 4 you didn't. Just quick round. Which ones didn't you read?
I didn't read the Predator, Wolverine, Moon Knight, Realm of X, or Star Wars.
Why didn't you read Moon Knight? Just quick answer.
Because it's 29 issues long and I haven't read any of them.
Perfect. And it ends next issue.
Yeah.
Predator versus Wolverine. Why didn't you read that one?
Kind of because I didn't really... are not characters I know, so I wasn't really into it.
Okay. Realm of X?
It's because it's X-Men and there's too much to know.
Okay. Star Wars?
Because I'm not that into Star Wars.
Now there's 5 books then that you did. Let's talk about those each in order a little bit. What's the first one you might want to discuss, the ones you looked at?
So the 2 that I have probably the least to talk about would probably be X-Men Blue Origins would be first. Because it's kind of, it connects to the Nightcrawler ones. And
to
so
the Uncanny Spider-Man one.
I kind of knew what was happening already. So I was like, even though it's not the same series, it's the same kind of thing. But it was very like, it was just like backstory stuff mostly, so it wasn't that much to talk about.
Yeah, so Nightcrawler, previously, it was like he was a mutant, and then eventually he found out that Mystique was his mom.
Oh my god.
And then eventually he found out that a demon was his dad. And then eventually now he's finding out that actually the demon isn't his dad because Mystique is his dad?
Yeah, he has two moms, technically. Yeah.
Actually, genetically even, because she, of course, is a shapeshifter, and more than a shapeshifter, she's a DNA shifter.
Mm-hmm.
So she actually just turned into a guy, and she made a baby with her wife, slash at that point I suppose it was girlfriend, and now they had a kid. And then somehow they lost track of him for a long time.
Oh, because there were people coming to take them away, and then they had to hide the baby.
Yeah.
And then he got lost.
He got lost. So
the tree took him.
So, but so that is actually a substantial change in the story of Nightcrawler in this issue. It is a big thing if you're a big Nightcrawler fan. Mm-hmm. That there would be that change. What was your next one?
Next one was Marvel Zombies, which I like the idea of these books, but I think the first one was better. Like, I didn't like the second one as much.
Interesting. I liked the second one better.
I don't know. Maybe it's just because there were less characters I knew, because I get very biased against characters that I'm not attached to.
Yes.
Because there was, like, the X-Men guy, or Fantastic Four guy.
And Reed Richards.
Yeah. Yeah, that guy. And then there was...
MCU really needs to get him in, because nobody in the world knows who he is.
Who else was even in here?
Oh, you had three stories in Marvel Zombies. Yeah. There was one where you had Reed Richards. You had one where Beta Ray Bill does a bunch of stuff. Evidently his physiology, because he's kind of this alien space horse. He is not able to be turned into a zombie, so he's going around fighting against the zombies. And then we also have one where it's an X-Men story, where essentially a number of the X-Men try to take out Zombie Cable, who's pretty powerful and difficult to defeat.
Yeah,
But yes, so if you're not a big X-Men fan, and you haven't read a lot of the, you know, Thors that would have Beta Ray Bill in them, and you haven't read a lot of Fantastic Four, because FF really... As far as people, you know, my age, it's been around all the time. But for people younger, Fantastic Four has sort of been disappeared for the last 10 to 15 years. There were some movies made a while ago, but it's been quite a long time. You would have probably been 5 the last time there was an actual Fantastic Four movie out. Maybe 10. So definitely something where they need to get a little bit more visibility on that.
Yeah, the last time I remember hearing anything about it was when there was like a fan casting of John Krasinski as I think Reed Richards, and that's just like...
But you know who's actually been cast as him now?
Huh.
Pedro Pascal.
That's crazy.
I'm not kidding.
I feel like John Krasinski, not knowing much about the character, I feel like he would be better fit for it. I love Pedro Pascal, but
it was actually good fan casting. And that's why he didn't play him in the one movie, and he got killed in like 5 seconds.
Oh no.
But
poor guy.
Anyway, I like this one because it was, I know this is weird, but for a zombie book, it was a little more hopeful. Like, it wasn't just zombies eating everything. It was Richards using his knowledge to try and find a way to save the world. And it was Beta Ray Bill, you know, taking the fight to the zombies. A lot of times these Marvel Zombies books are pretty dark.
Maybe that's why I didn't like it. There wasn't as much gore and blood and guts and everything.
Well, there you go. We'll have to choose to disagree.
There's a difference between our likings here.
All right. On to the next one. What do you got?
The next one was Howard the Duck, which was really interesting, actually. And I was kind of excited when I saw it because I was like, this is different. And the only time not mentioned, but like he's like in one of the cages in the collectors. That's the only time I've ever really seen him.
Howard isn't a very commonly seen character, but he's been around for a long time and he's very beloved by a lot of people.
Yeah.
Steve Gerber back in the 70s made some just fantastic, crazy comics with Gene Colan, with Howard the Duck as this duck that's transported from his duck world to Earth and then has to somehow deal with the craziness of being a duck in amongst all of these other weird, you know, featherless apes. This is a one-shot, so it's one you can just read, and it's got some goofy stories in it. Basically, it's a what-if where we see what happened if Howard lived in different timelines and whatever. And so there's nothing deep about this, but it is actually pretty entertaining. And they note that it actually was put out kind of to commemorate the fact it is now 50 years since Howard the Duck first appeared in 1973 in Fear Number 19.
Well, that makes sense of why on the cover it's like a birthday cake.
Yep, exactly.
He's 50 years old.
And Thor stuck his hammer in his birthday cake because he's fighting
Hulk. Oh, no.
All right, what else we got?
Then I read all three of the Captain Americas that were out, and it was kind of, you warned me that there's a lot of words, and I was like, I got into it, and it was interesting. It was a good story.
Yep.
I liked it, but I had to actually turn the smart panel on because there were too many words, and I couldn't keep track of what was happening, so I had to go through panel by panel, or I would be confused. Yep.
This felt more like a 1960s, 70s Marvel comic than almost anything I've read in a long time. And it has a kind of an interesting, I mean, it also not only reads like it's old, but I think I also mentioned that it strikes me as, I was interested to find out what you'd think of the fact that, like, one of the issues, a good part of it is Captain America being a landlord who's like, you know,
I think that's cute.
So there you go.
And he's giving people jobs and he's being a good person, like because he's Captain America.
Yep. When he's got the mask on or not, he's still Captain America. I like
But these. People know that he's Captain America?
Yeah, he was just a soldier who came out of the ice. So he has no,
people didn't know that.
He has no secret identity. There's been times when he kind of has a secret identity type thing. But, I mean, even usually when he was Captain America, even when he didn't have a secret identity, sometimes he'd had a job. So he was actually a comic book artist for a while.
That's crazy.
So he would have, like, deadlines and stuff. He was trying to get his pages in and then still save the world with the Avengers and that sort of thing. But, yeah, he does not have, he's never really had a secret identity. So.
But, yeah, the one part I thought was really cool was, like, the part where they were at the murder scene with that one guy, like, the serial killer that was hired. And then it was, like, going between, like, the...
Back in time and the present.
I thought that was really cool. I like that.
Yeah, it was... Those were really well done. I mean, I think the art in them is really nice. And
because it makes it look old, but not like the facsimile edition, like, not like those.
Yeah. And it's written by J. Michael Straczynski, who is a longtime comic book writer, really a writer I've enjoyed a lot of stuff by, who he actually had been kind of having some health problems and had been away from the game for a while. Back now writing for Marvel. Jesus Saez and Lan Medina did spectacular work on the art. So this is, I think one of the better books this week was the Captain Americas.
Mm-hmm. And then the last one that I read was all four of the Miss Marvels that are out. I think it finished. This is done, I think.
Is it a miniseries?
It might be. I think so. Because I think, it is.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. Because the third issue, at the end it says, to be concluded at the end.
Oh, okay.
So I assume that's the end.
That would make it the end.
Yeah.
All right. And there's still a lot of story to go, obviously. She is... You know, she defeats the current thing, but she's still at a school with a bunch of evil folks, and there's someone plotting against her and everything.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I thought these were pretty well done, too. Again, I like the art. I like the story. Interesting note, you see that one of the writers is Iman Vellani. So the actual actress who's playing Ms. Marvel.
Oh, that's cute.
In the movies. She, who knows how much she had to do with it. It's very possible she gave the idea to Sabir Prasada, who's the other writer who's listed. But she seemed to be pretty excited about being involved in comics. So it's very possible that a good part of this was actually written by her. Haven't looked into exactly how they broke it down. And then Carlos Gomez and Eric Arciniega doing the pencils and the colors. So this is actually, in fact, if we look at it, your pick of the week, correct? So we're going to talk about this a little bit more later.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Sounds good. And then I guess if we looked at jumping on points, there would be essentially two or three of them. The X-Men Blue and Howard are essentially jumping on points.
But I guess points. Howard the Duck is just one, though. So
jump on and jump off.
It's just it's just one stop.
Exactly. So, and then X-Men Blue, that one is going to continue on probably for a little while, but I'm not sure how many issues there are of that either. Then the last thing, we've got the return of X number 4, which is ending. That's a 4-issue series. And then Ms. Marvel as a 4-issue series.
Yeah.
And actually, those are our two recommendations, because Realm of X is the one that I'm going to kind of have as my pick for the week, and you have Ms. Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at Ms. Marvel,
mm-hmm.
Who's your favorite character in there? Is it Ms. Marvel, or did you
like
some of the other?
Bruno.
Still Bruno.
Yeah.
Is he saved the day? He's helping out.
Yeah, he's just a cutie patootie.
And is this coming out of the TV show, or just...
I like him in this, like, a lot, too. Excellent. I like his little... When he's, like, trying to save her, and he, like, hacks into the mainframe.
Excellent. Yep. Yeah. No, that's very cool. I kind of thought that might be the case. So, supporting characters are huge in comics. So.
I do really like Kamala, though.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's cool.
Yeah, they've done a good job with that one. It's a character that... making the kind of changes they did could have messed things up pretty badly. Still might, but as of right now, it seems like the whole killing her and bringing her back and everything else has worked out. So
one of my favorite pages in this was when she's telling him like that she's a mutant, mm-hmm. and then they have like the same frame for all of them, but just like slightly different. I thought that was reading it in like the I put the smart panel on for that too. Yeah. It was really cool to swipe through it because it almost looked like it was like a show, you know, like because it's like frame by frame. Yeah, so that was kind of cool because I was like, this is fun.
Interesting. Oh, very good.
Because the first one I read in regular form, and then the rest of them I read in Infinity.
Yep.
Which I don't actually know if it like flowed better or worse in the regular one because I didn't really compare them because I didn't read or look at the other ones.
Yep.
But it was really... I like the scrolling of it because it makes it so much easier to just like move through everything instead of just like sitting on a page for like a minute and then... going through it. I just
she would probably like it if there were some more of the regular comics that were in Infinity format.
If there was like a regular and an Infinity of like the same comic, I think that would be probably good.
So have you tried the other smart panel thing where you open a regular book and double click on it and then it just goes panel to panel?
That's what I did for Captain America.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, you said you'd done
yeah.
that. And that's different, but
yeah,
but you like the scrolling
it's
better,
similar,
really.
But it's easier to, it like flows. I like when the art also like flows down. It's really nice.
When it's actually designed for it?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But that's usually just like the Infinity comics that are like designed to be Infinity comics, not like based off another one that's
that is,
out.
That is correct.
But yeah.
Cool. All right. Yeah, I thought those were good too. And then my pick is actually kind of an unusual one in some ways that I have been reading a little bit more X-Men stuff, trying to kind of catch up on all of this Orcus and the whole disaster that's going on. But I've missed about 5 years of storyline, according to most people. And I'm too lazy to go back now. It looks like they're going to blow it all up this summer and start over with a new status quo for the X-Men. So I'm just kind of waiting for that to happen. And then I'll start.
How many times has that happened?
Oh, it's annual, pretty much. No.
For the last how many years?
I would say it seems like about every half decade or so, they pretty well blow everything up. So it is time for that cycle to begin again. But I actually ended up reading one called Realm of X. It's a 4-issue series by Torn Grunbuch. And then Diogenes Neves and Raphael Pimentel were the artists on it. They also had Rain Barreto and Dono Sanchez Almara on as color artists. Clayton Cowles lettered it. Really a nice issue. What this was essentially is almost like a fairy tale where the X characters are dropped into another world. And in this case, actually, it's Vanheim, one of the realms that like Thor wanders around in, one of the Norse realms. We have magic, mirage, Typhoid Mary, dust, marrow, and curse, who are all dropped into this. And then essentially there's a prophecy that when they arrive, it's going to, you know, mark the end of everything or this massive change. Everyone there has prognostication powers, but they can't see anything into the future past the arrival of these women. So the ex-kids are, or the ex-characters are all dumped in there, and then we find out exactly what's going on and who the big bad is. And it really does have kind of that sort of like fantasy adventure, kind of a Willow type of storyline. And I think it was well done. It's one that in some ways I feel this is one of the problems with Marvel these days, though, is this could have been done as just a fantasy story with four or five new characters, with a storyline that would have been much less complicated, because you wouldn't have had to layered decades of extra character stuff on there.
And then more people would have read it, probably, because they wouldn't have had to deal with all that.
You would not have had to worry about...
They probably would have read it.
Yes. And so, you know, it's interesting story, but by having to mix it in with all these characters, now, that's not to say you can't at all, but they really might be at a point where it would be nice if they just had some fantasy books where they had characters that that maybe didn't have quite so much backstory, rather than having to put their existing IP into every story, even if it was maybe not needed. But nonetheless, they did a nice job of it. I think I liked Grunbeck's story, and it's something where you didn't really need to know everything going into it. Story of a bunch of kids trying to get home. All right. Anything else that you read this week that you were interested in and wanted to talk about?
Well, I talked about all of the ones that I read. So I really think I need to get into It's Jeff, though, because he looks so cute.
Very cool. Kelly Thompson, by the way, is the writer on those. She's the one who created Jeff and has kind of been the big Jeff protagonist over the last while. She's also writing all sorts of other comics that I love in the last year. She wrote Black Cloak and Call, a bunch of other stuff.
Cool.
With that, I think we're probably done for this week, Sienna.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll see you next week for another look at what is new in the world of Marvel Unlimited. And we'd love to hear from you, as always. Email us at unlimitedanswers@comicsovertime.com or find us on Instagram or Blue Sky at comicsovertime. Make sure to subscribe now in order to get our weekly look at what is new on the Marvel Unlimited app. You can find us anywhere fine podcasts are available, including iTunes, Google, Amazon, Spotify, and our hosting platform, Podbean.
All right. Sounds good. Another great week of comics. We will see you all later.
Bye.